to me, a cavern in the very depths of the forest, where the ancient founders of the Sevatim had buried the remains of our first and most noble warrior. After every battle, lost or won, our forefathers had taken a symbol of the battle to the cave, an enemy skull, a weapon, a severed limb. And now the Trofaroon was so glutted with spirits of the dead that the forest itself rang with their howling. Long before I was cast out of the Sevatim for blasphemy, I went there. I wanted to see the spirits of my ancestors, to hear their screams. I wanted to talk to them, to understand why they had taken my mother from me, when she had served Zoannon all her life and never spoken ill of anyone, alive or dead. But I heard nothing, and saw only a cave full of dirt and old bones, and a metal sign, like one of Neva's holy relics. On it were words, just shapes to me then, but I remembered them. Years later, the doctor decided to teach me to write, and I showed him the words. "Trophy room," he told me. "What is that?" I asked. He circled the wooden desk at the center of the room thoughtfully, flicking switches. Eventually, he stopped and smiled at me. "Somewhere to keep cups," he said. "Cups? Cricket cups, swimming cups, certificates, statues, that kind of thing. I've got one somewhere." "Do you have many cups, Doctor?" I asked. "Oh, hundreds," he smiled. "Remind me to show you one day. But first, we're going to dinner. It's about time I taught you some table manners." The doctor had set me free from the ignorance and superstitions of the Sevatim. I did not know it then, but from what I have learned of him since, I believe he saw in me a kindred spirit. He too had rejected the rigid beliefs of his people. He too had dreamed of stepping onto other worlds, breathing strange new air and seeing the wonders of the universe. My people refused to believe that there could be life beyond their world. The Time Lords knew it existed, but preferred to observe rather than touch it, feel it as he did. The doctor let me travel with him, but there was a price. He wanted to educate me. He wanted to change me from a savage into an Eliza Doolittle. This meant no hunting, learning to read, write, and most importantly, how to hold a knife and fork. This I did not do well.
"Well, really?"
We were sitting at the table of Lord Douglas, a straight-backed man with an absurd moustache, and Lady Douglas, a straight-backed woman who had a nose like a hawk. Their tiresome daughter, Jessica, giggled every time I spoke or moved. Had the doctor not forbidden me to carry them, I would have happily stabbed her with a Janus thorn. That would have shut her up. A strange old man with the face of a corpse had served our food. He stooped to pick up my fork, which had fallen to the floor, and frowned as I carved a large chunk of meat from the carcass with his larger and more effective knife. "This meat has no taste," I complained. "The animal was too old when you killed it." Remembering the doctor's words about cleanliness in Edwardian England, I wiped my hands on the tablecloth, which prompted another outburst from the daughter.
"Jessica,"
Lady Douglas hissed, like a hoarder. "This one's got a bit of pluck on her, Doctor," Lord Douglas said, smiling. "Where did you pick her up from?" "My name is Leela of the Sevatim," I announced. "And you," I pointed the knife at the girl, "are extremely annoying." Jessica and Lady Douglas gasped. Lord Douglas laughed, slapping his hand on the table.
"You tell her, old girl," he guffawed.
"Joshua," said Lady Douglas, "I will not countenance a member of my family being spoken to in that manner in my house. Williams,"
she addressed the corpse man without looking at him,
"I want you to take Miss Leela down to the servants' hall. I think it would be more appropriate for her to dine there."
I stood. "Is the meat in the servants' hall fresher than this?" I asked corpse man,